Welcome back to the Digital Orthopedics Podcast and our audio series from the 9th Annual DocSF Experience. My name is Stefano Bini. I'm a physician at UCSF, and I'm the host of this podcast and the founder and chair of the DocSF conferences. In this presentation, Dr. Nicholas Kolivas from the UCSF Sports Medicine Division introduces Edouard Saget, the co-founder and CEO of OrthoGrid Systems. He discusses the integration of AI in the operating room to reduce mental workload and enhance efficacy. Edouard explains how artificial intelligence can assist in decision-making and minimize errors without replacing human jobs. He emphasizes the importance of understanding customer needs and building artificial intelligence tools that are easy to use, autonomous, and which integrate seamlessly into existing workflows. The presentation also highlights OrthoGrid Systems' successful commercialization of their AI solutions and the recent acquisition by Zimmer Biomet, underscoring the impact of artificial intelligence in optimizing surgical processes and supporting surgeons in real-time decision-making. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Tom. I'm Nick Kolivas. I'm on faculty here at UCSF. My claim to fame is I've known Stefano for 20 plus years. We were residents together. I've got some stories if you want, but we'll keep them out of the conversation today. Absolutely lovely to see your parents here today. That's a fantastic. We've heard a lot of incredible, interesting stuff. I want to live in Tom's world where everything's done for you, but we're going to do a little bit of a deeper dive into a real-world situation here, a company that has taken AI, commercialized it, been successful, got some very fabulous news that we'll hear about, and that's OrthoGrid Systems. I'm not going to spend too much more time talking about it because Edouard Saget is the co-founder, and he's going to give us a wonderful talk. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, thank you for Stefano again. I've known him for about 10 years, and we met literally about 10 years ago, and a moment to be doing this today, actually. So he wanted me to talk a little bit about AI surgeon support in EOR. We kind of took a practical look at it and wanted to fix our solutions in our analog world, and we found that AI was one of the solutions. So first of all, I have to integrate in this conversation all the things that I've somewhat learned at DocSF. And Dan, I've seen you talk for a long time, and this is definitely something that I think is fairly true, and I want all surgeons to realize that their job is not going away, but if they can use AI, they will probably be a little bit more efficient. One element that we wanted to bring about is the environment in the operating room. The operating room is very specific. There's a lot of things going on, and the surgeon is the master in that environment. However, they have to manage a lot of things. And connectively, we call it the mental workload. And I like to call them kind of performance lags. There's just a lot of things that are going on that adds time. And overall, humans are a little slow when you consider all these things coming together. So looking into the world of actual psychology, you can look into how they define mental workload and specifically how they're looking at building interactive technologies to manage and to optimize them. And it is a real language that we use, like cognitive load and information processing blocks that are quite complex. And that's what's going on in the brain of a human that's working. And specifically, our goal with the technology is to optimize all of that. Optimization of performance, enhancement of the engagement. How attentive are you at the moment you're trying to make a decision? And then obviously, as you do that, minimizing errors. And that's the goal of the technology. So one thing I also learned here is that technology alone is not a solution. I cannot write a line of code to save my life. And I have an AI company, and we built a team of people. And that's really important to understand that we learned that little trick and is a constant reminder inside of OrthoGrid that what problem are you trying to solve for which a solution exists in technology? We didn't start with technology. We start with an analog device, which had features, customer needs, things we're trying to fix. And then over time, as we continue to find solutions to fix problems, we ended up on technology solutions. We tried AR, we tried AI, we looked at a lot of different things, regular software. So let's look at the different problems. A lot of those have been mentioned. But really, robots assist manual skills. AR assists with maybe display of data, instantaneous visualization. AI is a little different. It assists the mind. So you're enhancing the manual skills, turning into AI augmenting cognitive capabilities, capacities, which is what's been talked about a lot. But it goes back and forth. If you notice, all the robots that we've been looking at earlier sessions are definitely looking to continue to enhance our skills. So quickly, in the OR, what are the mental workload burdens? First of all, you have a patient, and each patient is different, and that is your customer. Now, you might be my customer as a surgeon, but that's your customer. And every time you have to deal with a customer, you have to take their customer needs into play. Pretty important place. The other thing is you have a human process interface that adds burden. And I think in the attendance, Dr. DeCook here has mastered this and effectively talked and solved some of those problems. The other thing is that human-machine interface. Is that taking a lot of time to interact with technology? Is that a burden? Do you have to wait for somebody to press a button? Is it happening at the time you want it? Or do you have to constantly affect change to that technology that's trying to support you? And lastly, you have the little guys on the bottom right corner. They are omnipresent. It's called the money guys. And they definitely have something to say on how you're integrating technology and how you're able to use it into your operating room. So those are all burdens that we have identified. Practically, I'll talk about what we did at Orthograd to try to solve some of these problems. And we really narrowed our view to an area related. It started with a picture. A picture is worth 1,000 words, I think is what the saying is. But really, it's a data source. It's trusted. It's validated. And it's generated in mass by the end users and for us, that's the surgeon. So can we do something about that? Because there's literally millions and millions of images being produced every year. And what happens is that the production of images is one thing, but then who is responsible for assessing the image for its accuracy and relevancy, for processing information in it, or making the decision so that they can affect change? All that is done with a naked eye, right? So what is the accuracy on that? We looked at it and broke it down and figured out what the problems were in quality assurance, so the opportunities as well, clinical decision or efficiency, and all those were looking to be updated with AI, augmented, I should say. So how do we do this? We just go through a process of an AI process, take the data, find it. We were talking about the data a minute ago. That's difficult to get, but you do need to get the right engineers to get your neural networks in place. And then you have these bricks of little tools. The question is, what do you do with those tools? You need to have your user needs really well defined and your scenarios to fix your surgeons and your customers' problems very well. So at Orthograd, we're focused on at least 4 of these very specific tools. It has to be easy to use. It cannot be an extra burden. Choice also, because choice matters to not only the physician who's run an assembly line now for a while and doesn't want to be disrupted, but also the hospital administrator that's going to want to approve that technology for you. And then the autonomy. We looked at repless as a model. We didn't want to have reps. So don't want to have somebody pressing buttons. It's pretty difficult to do, but AI was perfect for this. So I want to touch on 2 things here. There's 2 words in the cognitive capacity tools that we ended up building, if you wish. It's the autonomous part and the automatic part. So they're 2 different words, yet with AI, they somewhat happen at the same time. For example, the registration of x-rays. It's autonomous in the sense that we're not prompting the system to do it. It does it automatically. And it does it immediately, more that automatic way, if you wish. A couple of features, if you're using x-ray, the rotation is a pain in the butt. People have to always wait for somebody to press a button. They always overdo it. Those are little things that are annoying. The step recognition, you don't have to prompt the system. It recognizes what step of surgery you already are, independently of which technique you're going to use. Other things like tracking pelvic movements are very unique features that are added because of the capacity that we're able to add to it. And then obviously the measurements. The physicians are looking for that information at the weight on another human to do this. So those steps have been helping surgeons operate faster with a little bit more confidence. And it's been really fun to put together. Now, this is what it looks like in the background, a bunch of data analysis being done by a computer. But what you show the physician is really something that they recognize, that they see, that they want to see at that moment, not something they have to decipher, if that makes sense. And the goal is to give it to them in a way that doesn't add burden. So there's no preoperative imaging required. You don't have to put extra pins. There's no setup needed. And there's no jig required or new instrumentation required. And also almost no humans. Now, we love humans because this is for humans. But the goal is to reduce the amount of human machine interface, if that makes sense.
Yeah, our goal for HRSA and for pretty neutral is kind of 40 and probably about 25.
So the goal here is to show you a little bit how this works in the OR.
Not in the hole here. We're sitting way out on the rim, so kind of need to get there shot. I'm going to just be cautious about getting down in there and slowly adjust my abduction inversion once I'm more down in the hole.
What you're saying is a C-arm machine produced the image.
I'm up on the rim more than I want to be, so.
The yellow part is a quality assurance check.
I think that's pretty good, right?
Tells the surgeon whether in a pelvic tracking tool. And then live, he's able to see not only his target, but also the information that comes from the measurement. All that is done at the same time. So he's not waiting for a human to go and do things on that x-ray in order to move forward. All of it is done autonomously and automatically.
The flow is very easy. It's very, very easy to learn. There's not 100 buttons to push. This particular program, you know, the AI overlay program, it automatically changes from one scene to the next scene to the next scene without somebody having to be there to guide it. It's self-guiding. And it's an outstanding program, and I highly recommend anybody that uses an overlay tech.
So that self-guided component goes back to that scene interpretation and the training that we give it independently of the type of technique you can use. Couple points, obviously, we wouldn't be in medicine if we didn't have some sort of study. There's been other studies done, but this was a study done on artificial intelligence trying to outperform a human, in this case, with a computer navigation system. And the cool part about it is, it's not that it's greatly better, because I think humans do a pretty good job. It's the fact that it does and is confirmed on its first iteration to do as well as a human, and it does it instantaneously, so you don't have to wait for some humans to actually, I don't know why they didn't do that one, but we didn't sponsor it, so we're just happy to see the data. Moving on, another nugget I got out of DocSF, which does matter, is the fact that technology has a duty to deliver on the value equation. And another one that I've learned from, and I don't know who said that one, I can't remember, it's been a few years, but I do also want to relate this one to the fact that sales solves everything, go get the revenues. And as a business who's invested into making a product with AI in orthopedics, it matters a lot. And Unity Stokes, who's going to, I think, be, he's not here today, maybe this afternoon. Oh, he's over there. Generously gave me 30 minutes of his time, and you don't even know how impactful that was. In short, you need happy customers. That's just the first thing you need. And if you meet your customer needs, you should be able to get there. It took us a while to meet at scale, I guess, customer needs, and we're still growing it. But we love getting text messages. This is when we know we have something going on. But remember these guys. We just talked about them, right? It needs to work for them. So what do? We have to maximize the value. Our systems with AI are actually pretty cheap to make. They are not massive burdens of capital equipment. But you still need to be able to prove your value. And I love referencing that because to me is one of the first customer needs that we have to integrate when we look at technology and how we developed it. Of choice. Surgeons don't want to change if they don't have to. And then the fact that we have a low deployment cost, we have an open platform, that means you can choose any implant you want, increases volume, increases discounts, and offers flexible business model. So in summary, really at the end, when we looked at mental workload, the reason why AI surgeon support in your is very interesting is because it is another way to offload the workload. There are tools out there like Hammer and other things that help with the physical workloads. We're talking about introducing AI to support, not just the OR really, but it has a place in the OR. And this is a very unique use case. I think I got a couple more slides. Somebody wanted to talk about future of AI for us. While you take something that works and you expand it to other areas of orthopedics makes a lot of sense. And then we did get acquired by Zimmer Biomet. We are very excited about that. It changes things for sure for the future because now we're looking at a much broader opportunity to look for integration. AI is about integration. Technology is about integration. And if there is a way to integrate all these systems, when you're so focused on taking care of yourself, it's hard to go and integrate with other tools. Very excited to be able to look into that. And then that's it. Thank you very much for your attention. And if you...
Maybe a quick question from the audience, if anyone has something. If not, I certainly do. Talk to us about surgeon adoption, right? Any new technology coming in, the company that's trying to... easy or how hard was that for you?
Well, it's a process because we started with an analog device and I think the first time was a sticker on a piece of plastic with lines on it. So anything after that was somewhat easier. I think the biggest hurdle, if you have the right needs and you spend a lot of time with your customer, don't let your engineers iterate for you. Go where your customers are in EOR and double check everything. Like, put yourself there, be silent if you need to, look at everything, because that's where the real needs are. And it's not the engineers that should tell you how to do that. They can find solutions, but the real problems are there.
Great. Thank you very much. Any other questions? I think we're out of time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Digital Orthopedics Podcast, and hope you'll make a note to join us for the next Digital Orthopedics Conference San Francisco in October. Take care. Bye.